These daily programs are dedicated to encouraging what we might call a Berean attitude to our Christian faith. The Bereans in Acts 17, you may remember, were commended for their noble-mindedness. They did not just act out of blind prejudice when truth was presented to them. They conducted a personal search of the Scriptures to see if what they were hearing was true. It's all too easy for any of us to dismiss as wrong a view which we're not accustomed to hearing. But the wise Christian is aware that tradition or majority opinion is not necessarily a safe guide to the truth of the Bible. I wanted to mention to you that a leading European theologian of this century wrote a book pointing out that what many believe about death and the afterlife does not come out of the Bible at all. He presented a clear argument to show that the philosophy of Plato has befogged the whole matter of the destiny of man at death. Here is how his friends reacted. Some expressed horror at being told that their religious traditions were not in line with the Bible. Others ignored him with an eloquent silence. This theologian was acting out of a concern for truth. He wanted to point out the contrast between the Bible's doctrine about resurrection and the pagan Greek philosophical idea that souls survive death. However, his critics reacted out of hostility at being told something they were not used to hearing. But none of them bothered to produce good biblical reasons for their objection. This well-known theologian, with a lifetime experience in the Bible, remarks that there's a widespread mistake among Bible readers about who man is. Many think that there's a part of us, an immortal soul, which goes on living immediately our bodies die. And this affects the whole of our understanding about the objective of Christianity. The truth is that there's only one avenue leading to endless life, and that is through faith and obedience to Jesus, and by resurrection from death when Jesus comes back. To put it simply, there is death after this life, but we can come back to life by being resurrected. There is death after life, and life after death only via resurrection. If you've been following our daily discussion of the great issues of life and death in the Bible, you will know that we're insisting that death in the Bible really means death. Death is not an immediate transition to life in another dimension. The whole popular idea of souls escaping their bodies the moment we die originates not in the Bible, but in the philosophy of the Greeks. Unfortunately, Greek philosophy infiltrated the church through some of the so-called church fathers. We have inherited a legacy from those early centuries when the original purity of the faith was being surrendered to alien ideas. One of the chief intruders was the idea that man is naturally immortal. This struck at the heart of the whole meaning of human life. God, according to the Bible, created us with the capacity to choose immortality, but we do not have immortality built into us, into our natures, that is. No, we are mortal, and in fact, since Adam and Eve turned their backs on God, we have all inherited death. The only antidote to death is faith in the teaching and the death and resurrection of Jesus. Only by that means can we receive an infusion of new life and a transformed character. This new life prepares us to receive a completely new body and a completely deathless existence. But that can only come to us via a resurrection from death. The moment of our individual death is not our moment of glory, but the return of Jesus to confer immortality on us in the resurrection is the real center of interest in the New Testament, and it should be ours too. Jesus is coming back to rescue the faithful dead from death. That means that the faithful are all at present dead, unconscious, and sleeping. They're waiting to be raised from death, which means being woken up from death. In our most recent broadcasts, we've been looking at those very few verses which sometimes give the impression that we can survive death immediately and go on living apart from our bodies. We've been suggesting that life without a body is not something the Bible writers would understand at all. For them, a person is identified by his body. And so, without a body, there's no life, no conscious existence. Disembodied life, especially a harp-playing existence beyond the skies, would be most problematic for Jesus and the apostles. You see, Jesus was a Hebrew, a Jew, and his heritage from the prophets of Israel meant that he looked forward to endless life in an immortal body. And that life would be enjoyed right here on the earth, renewed and purged of evil. Jesus believed that the paradise of Eden was going to be restored on earth. That's not a sectarian idea. It's the plain teaching of the Bible. Listen to the words of Isaiah in Isaiah 51, verse 3. For the Lord is going to comfort Zion, that is Jerusalem. He will comfort all her desolate places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her garden like the paradise of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found there, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. It's a curious thing, and perhaps you've wondered about this, but Jesus said the meek would inherit the earth. Why then do Christians seem always to speak about going to heaven? Does anyone go to heaven in the Bible? Jesus apparently thought that no one had, when he said in John 3:13, no one has ascended to heaven. And in Acts 2, verses 29 and 34, David, according to Peter, was still dead and buried, even after the resurrection of Jesus. David, said Peter, and I quote, did not ascend into heaven. Only Jesus has gone to heaven, but Jesus promised that he would come back to the earth, and he promised the Christians that they would inherit the earth. It would be a tremendous help to our Bible study, therefore, if we would give up all this talk about going to heaven and follow Jesus by speaking of inheriting the earth or inheriting the kingdom of God. That's the way Jesus always spoke of the Christian hope. We were looking last time at a passage in 2 Corinthians 5. I've often heard Christians quote about half a verse from that passage. It's the phrase about being absent from the body and present with the Lord. By taking this half sentence right out of context, some have thought that it agreed with the popular idea that when we die, we go immediately to heaven. I'm sure you know that in all sound Bible study, the key is to look most carefully at the context. This is true of interpreting any document. And the Bible is a document, or rather documents. The same rules apply to reading the Bible as to any written material. Reading the context is the first rule of intelligent Bible study. So what is the context of Paul's remark about being absent from the body and at home with the Lord? If we go back a few verses to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, we find the verse in which Paul introduces his topic, and that topic has nothing to do with disembodied souls going to heaven at death. It has to do with resurrection in the future for all the Christians together. 2 Corinthians 4:14 reads, "We know that he who woke Jesus up from the dead will wake us up too with Jesus and will present us with you." Why does Paul use the word wake up when he speaks of resurrection? Obviously because he believed that the dead were sleeping right up to the moment of their resurrection, exactly as Daniel 12, verse 2, had said. Then Paul went on to develop some thoughts about our struggles in the present life and our desire to put on our new bodies at the resurrection. Paul, you see, is always comparing the situation now with the situation as it will be when we meet Christ, when he returns to wake the dead. So he says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, "For our present momentary light affliction is producing an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison." Then in chapter 5, verse 4, he says that we are longing to be clothed in our immortal bodies so that this mortal will be swallowed up by life, that is, immortality. We're longing to be absent from our present mortal bodies and at home in the new body with Jesus. And when does this happen? At the resurrection. So you see, there's nothing here about being at home with Jesus at the moment we die. The plan is that we shall all get our new bodies at the resurrection, so that we can then take up residence with Jesus when he arrives back on earth. The key here is to compare 2 Corinthians chapter 5 with what Paul, only a year earlier, had written to the same Corinthian church. In 1 Corinthians 15, the great resurrection chapter, Paul tells us plainly how we can expect to gain immortality. When is our mortality to be replaced by immortality? Here is Paul's answer. Here is the real objective of all Christians. Their moment of glory is not when they die, but, as Paul says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. The trumpet will sound, and the dead shall be raised or woken up incorruptible. Then he says, death will be swallowed up, and Hades or the grave will be overcome. That is when Christians will be removed from Hades, the world of the dead. Because many have been taught to believe in an immediate survival of death and a journey to heaven without a body, they read Paul's phrase, absent from the body and present with the Lord, to make it fit their own idea. And it may seem to fit quite nicely, but I'm afraid Paul did not think in terms of disembodied spirits doing anything. The whole context of 2 Corinthians 5 shows that Paul has his eye firmly on the future resurrection. That's when Christians can expect to get their new bodies, and not before. Only when they get a new body can Christians take up residence or be at home with Jesus. Without a new body, there would be nowhere to be at home with Jesus. You cannot literally be with Jesus before the resurrection. So you see, Paul skips over the time between death and resurrection as a complete blank. When you're dead, during that interval, you're out of it, but you will be woken up in the resurrection. Let me illustrate the point. I might say today that I'm longing to leave my present home and be with my friends in England. That does not mean that I will be in England the very next moment after leaving the US. In the same way, Paul does not expect to meet Jesus until the resurrection day. That was always his focus, and 2 Corinthians 5 is no exception. We must not quote half a verse out of context to make it fit our traditions. That's the wrong way to do Bible study. It's essential to maintain an exclusive concentration on the future resurrection if we're to follow Jesus and the apostles. The future resurrection must not be watered down or reduced to a kind of appendix because we think we can make it to glory the moment we die. As someone has said nicely, the sextant's bell has replaced the last trumpet in the minds of many churchgoers. Burial in the ground means death, death after life. And the only release from death will come at the future resurrection. It may be that some of this material is new to you. If you would like to write to us, we would be delighted to send you some material for further study. Meanwhile, join us again as we examine the great issues of life and death in the Bible. Until then, may God bless you in your search for truth.